I picked up three key words from Bernie and Greg's presentation. It was catechize, brainwash, and malachi. It really made me think. Y'all remember the happy days with the Malachi brothers? Whenever they crunched Pinky Tuscadero in her little car and the Fonz got upset. That's what I was thinking. They lost me. It was such a profitable conversation until I went back to the Malachi. Remember the Malachi crunch? Am I the only guy that watched Happy Days back then? All right. Okay. Don't want to go back. All right. So I'm going to ask you to bear with me today. This is a really, the section we're in today is not real easy to teach. It's really Paul talking about his story of post-conversion, going up to Jerusalem. So I'm going to try to just point out some things, that connect with what we're talking about as we look at his story. I think the first thing to remember is the book of Galatians is written to Christians who are being confused by false doctrine. And the false doctrine is fixated on things we must add to our conversion. Okay? That, you know, I know that you say you're a Christian, but have you been circumcised? Have you been baptized in the way that I think you need to be baptized? We add all of these things in. So in this particular context, Paul is defending salvation by grace through faith alone. That's what he's defending. And a statement that kind of, I would say, is an overview of what we're about to do is that how the people said, this is in Galatians 1:23, that Paul was now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. He was preaching a faith that comes simply through believing, not through doing. Okay? And so, he tells his story. So I'm just going to point out things as I read through his story and his testimony. So beginning in Galatians 2, verse 1, he says, he talks about how he went away for 3 years, and then he came back into Damascus. Then he says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus with me. I went up to Jerusalem because of a revelation, and I set before them the gospel that I proclaimed to the Gentiles in order to make sure that I was not running or had run in vain. So, as you know, Paul is converted on the Damascus Road by Jesus Christ himself. Paul was able to call himself an apostle because he was commissioned by Jesus Christ himself in his resurrected form. That's the definition of a big A apostle, that Jesus Christ, in his resurrected form, appeared to him and sent him with a direct mission to preach the gospel to a specific group of people, and it was the Gentiles. His conversion, although the benefits would be the same as yours and mine, his story's a little bit different than yours and mine. We hear the gospel and respond in faith. Paul was confronted by the resurrected Lord, okay? He's an apostle, and he is commissioned directly to the Gentiles. So he goes up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, runs into guys like Peter, James, and John, and he begins to talk gospel with those guys. And he takes the message that he's been commissioned with, and he begins to share with them what he's preaching. And he is preaching a gospel that does not hinge on performance. It hinges on faith. And guess what happens? While he's there, he finds out that the gospel he's preaching is the same gospel they're preaching. And you see that in this conversation. I don't think, really, knowing Paul, I don't think Paul went up there to get corrected. I think Paul went up there to make sure that we're all on the same page. I think he already knew they were all on the same page. And here's the second thing I believe he's doing. He's making sure that none of them are mixing works in with the gospel. Now, we know this because if you study Acts chapter 15, in Acts chapter 15, the church in Jerusalem in Antioch makes the decision that they are not going to require people to do anything but believe in Jesus to be saved. And that's what comes out of Acts chapter 15. They all agree we are not going to add to this message. And so the reminder for us is we need to make sure that we are not adding to this message, saying that you need to do particular things or not do particular things in order to be saved. So let me test you on that one. I have a my son-in-law Jordan has a business in Columbia, and they do commercial pressure washing, mostly in landfills and places like that, all over the state, up into Chattanooga and beyond. He had a former employee who he had to fire about 2.5 months ago, who was one of his closest friends, one of his best employees. But if I told you the circumstances, you'd have fired him too. This kid was 22 years old, had 4 children, was divorced, but still parenting his children, and shot himself and killed himself on Sunday night. He was one of my son-in-law's closest friends. My son-in-law's young. He's 28 years old. And he was 29 years old. But his employee who shot himself, Jalen, had believed in Jesus for his salvation. Was it enough to carry him through suicide? If faith and faith alone is the basis of our conversion, then it was. If performance is mixed in, you start scratching your head. Well, I know he said he was a Christian, but he couldn't have been, right? Isn't that what we do? This kid was in turmoil over a myriad of things. Jordan was able to talk to his mom this week, who's a believer. His mom, y'all, his mom's 40. He was 22. So she was 18 when he was born. His mom's 40. Think about that. And she had a note from her son that he left expressing his faith but his turmoil before he did what he shouldn't have done, but he went ahead and did it anyway. See, a person that mixes works with the gospel is going to say, well, I know that he said that, but it wasn't enough. A person who believes in the gospel says, our hope is in Christ regardless. That's the kind of thing Paul's going against here, right? Is Christ's resurrection enough to carry you through the grave, or is it not? And that was the argument. You see how that feels? Because some of you probably wrestle with that a little bit. Well, I'm not sure about that. Well, you need to go back to the basis of your salvation. We live in a dark, cold-hearted world that is harder on some people than it is on others. And because of sin, some people deal with some heavy mental issues that the gospel doesn't necessarily fix. And all of a sudden they're in turmoil and they have hope at the same time. Don't mix works in, or you will become a judgmental person, and you will have a salvation that says, yes, you can be saved as long as. You don't know all of the details of his life. You don't know the war that he was having against sin and against thoughts and against pressures, right? I'm just testing you a little bit here, because that's what they're doing. Is faith in Christ enough, or is it not? This is our salvation that we're talking about here. Can you be saved and still struggle? Can you be saved and still war mentally with things that are bigger than you? You can. You can. Yes. Believing in his finished work. That's it. And so the only way you can have hope in a situation like that is if you believe in what the Bible teaches. Otherwise, you just flush someone like that into hell. Exactly. Am I right? We were talking about that a couple of weeks ago, right? Yeah, how would the one who died next to Christ? I mean, he's a murderer. By the way, you know what's interesting about bringing that up that fits with our conversation today? That gentleman that died by Christ, who spent eternity with Christ, was not Jewish, so he wasn't circumcised. And what did he need to be saved? To believe in Jesus. Y'all, we're talking about salvation right now. We'll get to sanctification in Galatians. But the argument here is on, do we have to work for our salvation or trust Christ for our salvation? And belief is not a work. It is by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works. So we're trying to clear the deck that in the church, for someone to come into the kingdom, they believe. They trust. And so Paul goes up to Jerusalem, and he has taken this gospel that he's proclaiming to the Gentiles, And there's a sense in which he's testing it against the apostles. Let's make sure we're all preaching the same message. So he goes on and he says this. But even Titus, who was with me, was not forced to be circumcised. Circumcision was a big issue, right? You're dealing with Jewish people who were coming into the Gentiles saying you can't be a Christian unless you've done this, that, or the other, regardless of whether you've believed in Jesus or not. They're adding to the equation. And be careful that we don't do the same thing. So he says, yet because of false brothers secretly brought in, now listen to this phrase, who slipped in to spy out the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus so they could bring us into slavery. Adding works to the gospel brings slavery. Adding works to trusting in Christ brings slavery. And people start going, well, I know you say you're a Christian, but have you done this or are you doing this? And again, you bring the thief on the cross into the equation, and he's like, I just believed. And he ends up in the same place that the guy that trusts Jesus for 40 years. It's the pay of the laborers, right? Like, this guy, wait a minute, comes in at the end of the day, and he gets the same payment as the guy that worked 16 hours? Yeah, because Jesus earned it, not works. Jesus earned it. We're going to get to sanctification because it's true. A person who is a believer is going to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. You know what's interesting? It was part of the turmoil of this kid who took his life. Was what is wrong with me? Why can't I serve God more gloriously? Why do I struggle still with some drug addictions? Because he was brought up in a very, very difficult circumstance there, and he was never able to shake free. There's this overwhelming conviction. So we'll get there because, yes, once God saves us, it turns into a sanctification issue right now. But right, we're not there yet in Galatians. Right now we're in a salvation issue. What does someone need to do to be saved? And then Paul's going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. And we're going to get there in a strong way in this book. But right now, Paul is making sure when we go out to the lost world and we share the gospel with another person, how many hoops are we going to require them to jump through? You know? And so many churches do so many things to say, well, you got to do this, you got to do that too. And so they bring, maybe they don't mean to, but they bring these questions. And I'm just saying that phrase as a general statement. So works from the standpoint of salvation bring us into slavery. And here's what he said. To those who tried to bring works in, we did not yield in submission for a moment. Listen to this phrase. So that the truth of the gospel might be preserved. Paul's more concerned with preserving the gospel than adjusting the gospel or making the gospel fit any particular situation. The role of the church is to preserve the beauty of the gospel and not mess with it. Don't mess with it. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just share it. And trust in the power of God through Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit to use it to ignite faith. Remember, Paul said, God set me apart before I was even born. Your testimony goes all the way back to before the world was ever spoken into existence. You realize that? You were chosen before the foundation of the world. That when you share Christ with another person, if you want to talk about yourself, if that becomes an issue, you can say, before the foundation of the world, God chose me. Before I was even born, he set me apart. Well, I tell you, that's a different ballgame than any other religion. Nobody else can speak that way. But when we confidently speak that way, it shows that we're reading our Bibles. And you know what? I've told you this before. We've all got the same exact testimony. I was dead in my trespasses and sin. I was under the influence of Satan. And I was under the wrath of God. But God, being rich in mercy, even while I was dead, made me alive through Christ. We've all got the same story. You know, maybe you've gone before, hey, I'm going to church tonight. We got a guy that's going to give a powerful testimony. We've kind of all got the same testimony. If it takes more than 15 minutes, you probably spent too much time talking about yourself. I think every one of us could give our testimony in 30 minutes because I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but by grace through faith, God made me alive together in Christ. Next. And the next guy gets up and says the same thing. And the guy that's never been to church goes, you guys are all telling the same story. Paul goes, that's my point. That's my point. We've all got the same story. Now, Paul, if anybody ever wanted to glorify their testimony, it'd be Paul. Hey, did you see Jesus Christ in his resurrected form when you were saved? No. Well, I wonder if you've been saved. Right? Yet here's the guy that's trying to convince us that that's not the way it works. It is only through the work of Christ. And so I will say this. He takes Titus with him. I mean, because to go on a ministry journey with Paul could have been different for different people. Titus goes on a journey with him, doesn't get circumcised. All of a sudden he meets Timothy, and he says, brother, you got to go under the knife. Now, it wasn't to be, let me read you that story. Timothy was already converted when he went under the knife. I'm telling you, if I was on a missionary journey with Paul and he pulled out the pocket knife, I am no longer on the missionary journey, right? I'm like, look, you go. You know, have a good time, but you are not cutting me there. You know, that ain't going to happen. But Timothy, listen to what happens with Timothy, because I'll show you. To Paul, it wasn't a matter of salvation, but in some senses, he would probably say, but we're going to be running into a lot of Jews, and if you can endure the 3 days of absolute unbearable pain, you might want to do it. So if one of them asks you, you can say, yeah, I have been circumcised. Not so that I could be saved, but so that you would leave me alone. Here's what happens with Timothy. Acts 16. Paul comes to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy. He's already a disciple. It's not a future disciple. It's a current disciple. He's already believed in Jesus. Said he was the son of a Jewish woman who was also a believer. His father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, so he took him and he circumcised him. Thinking, man, that's a high price to pay to go on a trip with Paul, right? Can you imagine going on a missions trip? Hey, you want to go on a missions trip to Costa Rica with me? Yeah. Well, you need to get circumcised. I'm out, right? I'll stay right here in Myrtle Beach. I ain't going on that trip. But anyway, but he says, because of the Jews who were in those places. What Paul said to Timothy was, if you want to go with me, let's just go ahead and go under the knife so that these guys don't throw you under the bus. And Timothy had a choice there. It wasn't a salvation issue. And for some crazy reason, Timothy said, yes, and it happened. All right, that's just a little bit of church history for you. Here's what I want you to know. Though we are not free from the moral law as a way to live our lives, we're free from the law as a system of salvation. In other words, I'm still called to honor my father and mother. Right? I'm still called to not take and steal from other people. I'm still called to not murder other people. But that was not the means of my salvation. It's the overflowing fruit of my salvation. So as Jeff was pointing out a while ago, we'll get there. We're just not there yet because Paul's not taking us there yet. Look at what he says and we'll open it up. Verse 6, I love this. He's talking about Peter and James and John and the other guys in Jerusalem. He says, and those who seem to be influential, those, I say, who seem to be influential, they added nothing to me. He's looking around at Paul, at Peter and James and John. They're sitting around, you know, over some good food. I mean, it may have been a Gentile diet. It may have been a Jewish diet. We're not sure what they're eating. They're sitting around talking. You know what they found out? They all believe the same thing. He walked away from hanging out with those guys and goes, I didn't really learn anything. But it's confirmed that we all believe the same thing. I love times like that. I mean, sometimes I'll go out to eat with a friend and Melissa go, how did it go? I said, it's fine. We just connected. Well, tell me more. I don't really have anything to tell you. That's kind of what Paul's going. He hangs out with the best of the best and he goes, I really don't have any more to say. I didn't walk away any more anointed than I was when I first ran into these fellas. We're all preaching the same message. And he goes on and he says this. He says, on the contrary, y'all, there's power in this statement if you listen. When I saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter has been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised. You know what he's saying? It's the same message, regardless of the audience. And I think that's something we forget sometimes. The gospel doesn't change depending upon the audience. At the same time, I think if you're reading through that Keller commentary, he talks about sometimes we might want to adapt. In other words, here's an example of adaptation. I go to a contemporary Presbyterian church in Columbia. And right up the street is First Pres of Columbia. If you come into the church I attend, you know, people are going to be dressed like this, you know. You go into that other church, I mean, the high-end clothing store in Columbia is called Granger Owings. Before you go to First Pres, you might want to drop by Granger Owings. Get the right sport coat. You know what? It's fine. For them, they're preaching the same gospel. These people enjoy some really loud organ pipes. Not so much for me. I sat in front of them a couple of years ago, and it was louder than shooting a shotgun without earplugs. And I walked away that day going, I don't think I can go back there because that hurt. You know, my ears were, when the preacher was preaching, I was like, I mean, it's crazy. Guess what? They are trying to reach this group. This other church is trying to reach this group. They're both reaching them. They're reaching them big time. They're not changing the gospel. If you went to different churches and listened to the sermons, guess what? They're pretty much preaching the same thing about Jesus. Illustrations are a little bit different. Applications a little bit different because this particular church is filled with gazillionaires. And this other church is filled with guys like me, you know? And but they're not adjusting the gospel. It's the same gospel. And that's what Peter's saying. I mean, what Paul's saying, he goes, Peter preaches the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter preached the gospel to the Jews. I preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Different audiences, probably different illustrations. I bet when they talk about food, they use different dietary illustrations. Fish to the Gentiles. Fish to the Jews, pork to the Gentiles, right? But it was the same gospel. That's what happened in Acts chapter 15 as they concluded, let's not put a yoke on people that nobody's ever been able to bear. Let's just preach the glory of the cross. And let's let God do that work. So that's what Paul is saying in these chapters. Is he saying, I go up to Jerusalem, I bring the gospel that I'm preaching, by the way, that would have come straight off the pages of the Old Testament. They bring the gospel that they're preaching, which would have come straight off the pages of the Old Testament. That's all they had. They didn't have a New Testament. They didn't even have the Gospels written at that point. All they had was the Law and the Prophets, and the Law and the Prophets are constantly pointing to Jesus. And if you read through the book of Acts and you read all those sermons, they keep referring to the Old Testament, whether it's Peter or whether it's Paul. They keep going back to the Old Testament and preaching Jesus. They're preaching the same glorious message of redemption. And here's what Paul would want you to hear. When you think of your salvation, or when you think about salvation, centered on Christ and Christ alone, don't add anything to it. And then when you think about your Christian life, be thankful that God has begun a work by His Holy Spirit that He's not going to stop until you're dead. And it's going to be ugly. I love the people who they got saved and everything went wonderful until they died. That ain't been my story. It has been a war. It has been a war since the day God converted me. As I fight for holiness, as I'm surrounded by temptation and all kinds of different junk that comes our way, and pain and depression and circumstances out of control, and we keep pressing on. But the gospel is Christ and Christ alone. Don't add to it and don't take away from it, but don't be afraid to share it. Any responses? Again, this is a different kind of a message, and so I had a hard time. I wasn't even able to prepare an outline. I'm just telling you this story.